Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you're physically able, 1 Timothy chapter 3, just a couple of verses here, as Paul, verses 15 and 16, as Paul is writing to Timothy and his son in the faith, and by the way, Timothy was a pastor, and so please understand that not only is he telling Timothy how to behave himself, but he's telling him, look, Timothy, not only do you need to behave yourself, but you need to help others behave themselves properly as well. And that's what we're talking about here. And he says in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. If you do not know, this year we are focusing on a word, and that word is study. And, you know, we ought to set our mind on an object. And in a general sense, that object should be God, okay? We should seek to know what we do not know about God, right? And about the things of God. By the way, that's life's greatest endeavor, to know God. I love how Paul says it. He says that I may know him. And you know what? We ought to be that kind of Christian, always looking to grow, always looking. By the way, I'm not talking about looking for some new doctrine. Okay. I'm not talking about that. We know there's nothing new under the sun. That's for sure. But there's things that we don't know. How many of you know everything? Yes, I knew this first row here on this side especially would raise their hands. I knew it. How many of you knew that? Yes, exactly. See, you all knew it too. Exactly. We know y'all. We know. But listen, we don't know everything. So we do need to seek after God. We do need to learn. We do need to grow. We do need to search the scriptures, right? I mean, that's exactly what we ought to do. And so we've gone through our doctrinal statement, the things that we hold to as far as, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, separation, heaven, hell, salvation, you know, all those different types of things. And we've also talked about the structure of the local church and how things are to be ordered and designed, if you will, or following the design of God for the local church in the Word of God. And then we're talking about how we, now that we know what it takes to be a member, we've chosen to be a member, we know what this church believes, we know what this church follows, what this church practices, if you will. And I, by the way, I love the statement that says the Bible is the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. That's a wonderful way to live. All right. If we would all just guide ourselves by the Word of God, the world would be a better place. Churches would be better churches. Amen. Families would be better families, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The Word of God makes everything better. Okay. Just like they say, bacon makes everything better. You know, so there you go. And I guess my Bible's kind of floppy. It's not crispy, right? Are you going to use that now as a support? Okay. He likes floppy bacon, all right? But that's okay. I still love him anyways. But that's where we are. So we've been talking about growing. And we said that a member of the body of Christ, a member of a church, should be a servant. We should serve. In some capacity, we should serve. And by the way, that's why this idea is called levels of leadership, because we're not going to jump in and teach a Sunday school class necessarily, or jump in and be a deacon, or jump in and be a leader of people. But we all can do a part. We all can serve in the body of Christ. And so at the very beginning, someone might be a part of a non-service ministry, such as, you know, weekly soul winning. By the way, everybody should be a soul winner, right? A nursing home helper, food groups, part of a food group, volunteer for Vacation Bible School, volunteer for Country Fair, volunteer for, you know, being, doing something on Friend Day, those types of things. And guess what? The requirements for this are very simple. Be a member of the church and come. That's pretty easy, right? You know, if you join a church, you ought to come, right? How many of you have heard the joke I tell about the town infested with squirrels? Have you heard my town infested with squirrels joke? You haven't. Would you like to hear my town infested with squirrels joke? Okay. There's a town infested with squirrels. Imagine that. And they were getting into everything. They were destroying everything. They were occupying attics, chewing up wires. You know, it was just awful. This terrible squirrel infestation. Well, you know, some of the churches in town decided to do something about it. And so they would get, you know, poison and traps and dogs. And but every time they did something like that, the animal rights groups would get up and protest. You know, they would, you know, you terrible Christians are killing the poor squirrels. And, you know, it was just not a good thing. Well, one day the ministerial association of the town noticed that the Baptist church no longer had squirrels, nor did they have protesters. And they said, whoa, we got to check this out. So they went over to the Baptist preacher and they said, hey, preacher, we noticed that you happened to have gotten rid of your squirrels. And we also noticed that you didn't have any protesters. How'd you do it? And the preacher said, well, it was just really easy. We got all the squirrels together. We preached the gospel to them. They all got saved. They got baptized. And we haven't seen them again since. You know, that's not how it's supposed to be. How is it supposed to be? No, they're supposed to come, right? I mean, yeah, you put a bunch of work into soul winning and teaching and training and discipling and going and so you ought to come. You know, hey, yeah, I'm gonna join the church and then we never see you again. You know, it's like, wow. You ought to be coming more and more regularly. You know, it's something that we ought to do at level one. That's why it's level one. It's easy. Come to church, serve, just kind of do your part, and that's it. Another level is level two, and this is getting involved with things like choir, being an usher, being a part of the audio video ministry, maybe working in the nursery or being an altar worker. This may be volunteering to work with students during non-service time, such as a worker on a bus route, something like that. And here, as you start to work with people, or as you start to maybe come up here on the platform, and etc., that comes with it another level of responsibility. And so, for this level, by the way, I went over these things last week, but I'm just kind of reviewing very quickly, though. But here, we in our church require a background check for that. Okay. Now, why do you do that? Well, because it's important. Safety is important. You know what? Also, the Bible says there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Let me just give you a little bit of a hint if you don't know, and I'm not going to get too specific. But did you know that there are people, they call them in a general category, predators? Okay? Can I tell you something? Predators don't play fair. Predators don't follow the rules. You know, there's no rules for predators. They just get what they want and they get it any way they can. They really don't care what havoc they wreak or whatever it causes. They don't. And they're, if you will, subtle, right? One of the things that we're taught in the ministry to watch out for is people that are predators of children. You know, they're not going to just come in and say, hey, we want to take all your children and do horrible things to them. And then, oh, yeah, welcome, brother. We're glad you're here. They're not going to do that. They're going to come in and they're going to look the part. They're going to act the part. So, you know what? Why do we do background checks? Because we live in a wicked world. That's why. And we want to keep people safe. And it's just a responsible thing to do. If you want to drive for the church, you know, you want to drive a church bus or a church van, you got to have the right credentials. Brother, back in the day, brother Freeze, we were talking about this. You know, there used to be a day and time where bus routes were kind of an anything goes. You know, anybody drives, and if it might be a 54-passenger bus, but bless God, we're putting 102 kids on that thing. You know, I mean, that's kind of, if you do that today, you're going to jail. All right? Brother Freeze, how many times should you have been put in jail if the rules would have been followed as a bus captain? Several. Yeah, amen. And, you know, those times are not here anymore. If you will, probably they shouldn't be either, you know. But you understand that these types of things are just, they're just important. Then we got to talking about level three. And this included being like a regular helper in a Sunday school class. Also, maybe in the Sunday school nursery or children's church or junior church or bus church, whichever one we have, things like that. Or maybe chaperoning overnight activities such as camp, those types of things. We said that what was important there was to not only, let me get back to my page here. And by the way, each of these levels you still meet the other requirements of the other levels. Okay, so you know, being regular at church services, being a member, getting the background check, all those, you know, you don't just skip those. Well, I'm skipping right to level three, so I don't have to do level one and two, okay? But here's something that's important. We mentioned last week that loyalty to the Word of God is expected of all volunteers. You know what? At this point, if you're in the third level of things and you're getting regularly involved, you ought to be loyal to God and His Word. And that's why you've heard me say many times, oh, Brother Combs, what are the rules of your church? And I just very nonchalantly say, we don't have any rules. Okay? Our church doesn't have any rules. God's Word is what has the rules. Okay? We're loyal to what God's Word says we should be as a Christian. And that's the rules that we have. It just so happens that there's lots of them. Okay? And so, it's not that there are no rules. It's just that whose rules are they? They're not mine. They're His. That's right. I didn't make them up. He did. And so, we want to follow those because they're His rules. So, we're gonna be loyal to the Word of God, the Gospel, the church program, those are the things that's expected of all volunteers in that reach level three. In level three, we want you to attend a church service. Okay? So as an attendee, not as the teacher, not as a worker, but as a church member hearing the Word of God. You know what's important, why that's important? Because some people get too busy. That they're never in church, and then they never get to grow spiritually. Because they're always giving out, and they're never taking in. You know, Christians need to take in, folks. Just in your own lives, answer this question in your own selves, in your own head. How many times have you ever gotten too busy to be any good to anybody? You know? Yeah, it can happen. And so you've got to understand, you've got to take in. And spiritually as a Christian, and by the way, they call that burnout, right? Where you give out, and you never take in, you burn out because you're going to run out of stuff to give. And so you understand, you got to be taking in. You got to be growing spiritually. Even the most tenured Sunday school teacher, I've been teaching Sunday school for 20 years. That's great, but you need to come to church. You can't be out of church all the time. Well, I'm serving God, and here's another thing. Well, there's nobody else to do it. Well, then I guess it doesn't get done. Because we cannot afford to sacrifice our people for that. I hope you understand, that's very important for this pastor. That's one of the things that I really want to make sure you understand that we want you in church at least once. Okay? At least once. During the week. So if you're a Sunday school teacher, and you are a children's church worker, and you're a nursery worker, you know, I guess that's okay. Alright? So you could teach Sunday school Sunday morning. You can go to children's church and miss the preaching service, and you can do the nursery on Wednesday or on Sunday night then, that's fine, but then come to church Wednesday and sit in the preaching. You see, you can still be really busy and get one service out of the week. Okay? So we want that. I think in, at level three, that's a pretty reasonable expectation for you to be in one church service, gleaning, gathering in. That's very important for your spiritual health. And then this is something we're going to be starting, but we're going to have a monthly teachers meeting, leadership meeting. So where the workers get together and we can just talk about things and refresh things and just organize and have a time where we can get a chance to kind of, you know, rally the troops and get together and make sure we're still going in the same direction. That's important. Now, in all of these areas, we've said that you ought to be informed of the specific policies and practices in each ministry. And we need to understand the chain of command. And we need to be willing to be flexible and provide assistance wherever needed. You know, two of the greatest things, number one, be teachable. Number two, be flexible. Oh, and number three, be available. How about that? Okay. Those are all good things. But we need to understand that we are a part of the church program. We're beginning to minister. We're beginning to invest in our local church. We're giving out, right? And so in order to give out, we got to take in. That's it. That's very important. And so, please understand that it's important to know what's going on in the local church. Here, let me give you a few things. And you can call this safety, communications, and spirit in the ministry if you want, or SCS for short. But these are areas of extreme importance for volunteers in the ministry. Think about this. Make your job the most important item on your agenda. So if you're going to volunteer to do a job, do the job. Right? Make it important. Oh, it's okay if it doesn't get done. No. It's not okay if it doesn't get done. It needs to get done, right? So that's important. Never volunteer for a position or task that will take you away from an existing commitment or task. Now, what do you call that? Common sense. All right? So if you have a responsibility, don't take on another responsibility that will take you away from your first responsibility. How many of you that sounds good? You're like, duh, Pastor. Well, I'm sorry, but the reason why they had to print on the label of the hairdryer with the bathtub, with the wavy water and the no sign, is because somebody took one in the bathtub. All right, you would think, duh, you know, but we have to say these things, okay? Focus on the task at hand. Put aside all other distractions. Oh, I love this. Such as cell phones. Paperwork, personal conflicts, other ministries, etc. You know, one of the things that I'm totally in disbelief of, is how many of you go to Walmart? Okay? How many of you have been at Walmart, and you walk into Walmart, and you're going shopping, and you're trying to find something, you can't find anybody anywhere, first of all, right? To help you. All right. And then when you do find one, they're on the phone. They're kind of sitting up against an aisle, some obscure aisle somewhere, like J49. And, by the way, they don't go in order there in Walmart. I wish they would, you know, it should be A, B, C, but you know, it's like, where's J49? Well, it should be after I, right? But it's not. And they're doing this on their phone. Oh, are you on the clock? Well, yes. What are you doing on your phone? You know, what is that? I don't understand that. Anyways, that's just a personal thing. I'll get off my soapbox now. But no, when you're doing a job, guess what you're supposed to be doing? The job. Okay. Now, all of you that are over the age of 30 understand all this stuff. If you're under 30, I guess that's not been taught anymore. I don't know why. But paperwork, personal conflicts, other things, put them all aside. Put aside the distractions and focus on the ministry. Can I tell you something? When do things go wrong? when you're distracted, right? So don't get distracted there. Have a welcoming mindset. It's important for us to be welcoming. Why would somebody want to come to our church if we don't pay attention to them, don't want to talk to them, don't welcome them, don't make them feel welcome, don't be friendly to them? They wouldn't want to come back. Would you want to come back? We should have a welcoming mindset. It's the responsibility of every volunteer to make people feel welcome. To make Lighthouse a friendly church. Greet visitors. Befriend new members. Sit by someone new. I should have crossed this one out. Be willing to give up your seat to someone else. Aren't Baptists terrible about that? I mean, if Jesus came in, you can't sit there. That's my seat. Am I right? I don't know. Okay. But it's right here. It's printed in here. I guess we'll have to do it. Assist families in locating children's departments. In a classroom setting, it's the teacher's responsibility to greet and register guests. It is the helper's responsibility to get them settled in and introduced to the class. Hey, look. This should just be, and by the way, I should actually add this in here. Don't have it's not my job mentality. I hate that. Well, why aren't you helping? It's not my job. And it's like, okay, but have that kind of a spirit of edification. By the way, we read there. What is the church supposed to do? Unto the edifying of itself in love. That perfects the church. Edification. It should embody each volunteer. Keep all negative opinions, complaining, and gossip and backbiting out of your mind, out of your ministry, out of your mouth. Any interaction with children, parents, and other volunteers should be uplifting and positive in nature. Okay, how many of your moms taught you this statement? You going to say it with me? If you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Yeah, right? Where have these things gone, you know? These things used to be taught to the masses. But you know what? How many of you have ever been a part of a church or at a church? And I hope it's not this one. Where everything is negative. Well, brother so-and-so did this, or Mrs. so-and-so did this, sister so-and-so. They're like, oh, I don't want to go back there. They might think I did something wrong. What are they going to say about me next week? You know? I mean, goodness, it shouldn't be that way. Be aware of safety concerns. By the way, safety is so important. You want to know what keeps churches out of lawsuits? Everybody being concerned about safety. Hey, listen, be aware of safety concerns, volatile situations. If you observe a potential hazard, become part of the solution. Don't be part of the problem. And try to help out. These things are very important. When we're in a church setting, if you will, and really everywhere, taking care of children is very important. It's a very serious task, a very important responsibility. So children are to remain in their classes until they're dismissed. Should children be wandering around aimlessly? No. A child left to himself. Huh? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Causes the church lawsuit. Okay? That's in the Hebrew, okay? You can understand that. Kids aren't supposed to be wandering around. They're supposed to be in their classes. They're supposed to be with teachers. You say, well, they had to go to the bathroom. We have procedures for that. Okay? So we need to make sure of that. By the way, this is not an indictment against anybody. It is common sense. Never be alone with a child. You say, why? For your safety. Yeah, for your safety.
You know, we're supposed to be above reproach. Nobody should ever be able to accuse you of anything. And so we not only does it ensure the safety of children, but it ensures the safety of the volunteer. We need to avoid situations that allow children to be isolated with an adult or an older child, especially in vehicles, rooms, anywhere. Okay, so that's so very important. All rules and laws of the road should be observed when transporting riders on behalf of the church. It's against the law to use a phone while driving. All passengers should be seated and buckled. If applicable, drivers of church vehicles must be registered with the office. Listen, these are all things that are important, okay, to just follow these things. Physical contact between volunteers and children of the opposite gender is limited to a handshake or to assistance. Why do we do that? Because we think everybody's a bad person? No, because it's just safe. It's just safe. Physical contact with the same gender is limited and may include a brief side-to-side hug or pat on the arm. A volunteer should use discernment and avoid even the appearance of wrongdoing. And by the way, these are not things that our Baptist church has made up. These are just common sense safety precautions. There are mandatory reporting laws in our state. It requires anyone who has a cause to believe that there's child abuse or neglect, if they're told it, should be reported immediately. And that's something that gets churches in trouble. And by the way, it's gotten churches in trouble, and it's gotten pastors in trouble, and ministry leaders in trouble. And so these are all things that are very important. Report any needs or concerns to your ministry coordinator. Or the individual in charge. We went through the chain of command. Those things are important. If you need supplies, if there are interpersonal conflicts that cannot be resolved, or other matters pertaining to your position, you need to be in a communicative state. All right, you need to communicate with people. That's kind of important, right? Do you know how many times, as an assistant pastor at Trinity, and now as a pastor? Do you know how many times I'm the last person to know something? It's amazing. They're like, oh, didn't you know that, Pastor? I'm like, no, I didn't know that. Well, I thought so-and-so would have told you. Well, they didn't. but we need to report things. We need to, any concerns, any things need to be reported. Report any maintenance concerns or needs to pastoral staff members who oversee maintenance. By the way, that's me right now. Okay, so report it to me. Why? Because we want to fix stuff. We want things to look nice. We want things to be nice. That stuff is very important. Incidents involving injury should be reported in writing, given to your department and coordinator. But paper trail. These things are important. Do accidents happen? Yes. But we should care for them properly. Okay, I hope you're understanding the idea of all this. Absences or requests for personnel should be discussed with the ministry coordinator. Never attempt to replace yourself. Okay, that's a good thing. Because you don't know who's qualified or not. Right? You may have good intentions, but you might put somebody who's not qualified in a place, and then what happens? Right? If something bad happens, then we're all in trouble. And so, those things are important, but be willing and be responsible to let people know. So those are just a few of the things that we want to cover, and I'll cover a few more of these things in just a little bit. But for now, take your Bibles, and we're going to be going to the Old Testament here. I want you to see how God views the responsibility of leadership and how we ought to think about it. But if we look over in Numbers 18... Numbers 18, and I put a few extra verses in here just because I discovered something curious I thought was interesting. But Numbers 18, and listen, I understand this is unusual for a preaching service, but because of our theme, study, and because of the importance of this, I felt it important for all of us to know and understand what's required to make a church work. And so that we can all be like-minded in these things. Before I get to Numbers 18, when I came on staff at Trinity, in 2005, I was put in charge of a Christian school, teaching in the Christian school, administrating the Christian school, etc. The next year, I decided they used a school curriculum Bible class, and I thought, well, as an assistant pastor, I should teach my own Bible class. So I decided to go through and teach, about the local church and about church. And so I went down to the office and I got a copy of the Constitution and Bylaws of that church. And I brought it to my high school Bible class. And I asked the students, by the way, they were all members of that church, their families were members of that church. And I asked them, how many of you have ever heard this? How many of you have ever seen this document before? Or how many of you have ever read this document before? And one kid out of 16 had read it. You want to know who that one kid was? It was the youth pastor's son. It was the only kid that had ever read that document. No one else had any idea what it was all about. So some of you may have never heard this stuff before. Some of you have heard this a lot. And that's okay. And so I certainly understand that. Are you there in Numbers 18? Look at verse 1, what God said about his house and his service. So this is a charge to the priests and Levites. These are the people that were chosen to serve God. Okay? And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee. Now this is what I thought was interesting. I'm going to explain here in just a moment. Shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary. All right? Now that sounds odd, doesn't it? Does that sound odd to anybody else but me? Yeah, you say it's sin to serve God in the church? No, that's not what it means. Okay? I'll explain in a minute. And thou and thy sons with thee, he goes on, shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. Okay, so he's saying here, not that serving God is sinful. Because how many of you think iniquity is sinful? All right. Not always the case. In this particular case, you have to go back to Genesis when Simeon and Levi did something very bad. They murdered a bunch of people because of what those people did to their sister. And because of that, there was a punishment given to them. To Levi, if you will, the punishment was, Levi, you're going to be my servant. All right? You understand? Remember, we talked to those of you that are in my Sunday school class, we talked about Jacob talking about his sons. Okay? So Levi, God chose Levi because of what he did. That word iniquity also means punishment. So this service, if you will, was a punishment. Now today that's not the case. You understand that, right? For us, serving God is not a punishment. But to serve God, we are chosen to serve God. So I added verse 1 in there because I thought it was interesting. It was unique. Something I had not thought about before. But let's look at verse 2 now. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come nigh the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they that be joined unto thee and keep the charge of the tabernacle and the congregation for all the service of the tabernacle, and a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. Now, God says later on, and he goes to explain that, yes, this was something that was issued as a punishment of Levi, but God was turning it into a blessing. Serving God is a blessing, folks. And we get an opportunity to serve God, but there's a way to go about it. And I don't have time, but you can go through and read there chapter 18 and other places where God orders out how the Levites were supposed to serve him. And by the way, it came with some pretty stiff consequences. You all know why one of my favorite Bible verses is a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, a bell and a pomegranate, okay? You know why they put the bells at the bottom of the priest's garments? Yeah, because just in case God decided to kill them, they would go stiff, you know, they would go dead, and the bells would stop ringing. But as long as they could hear the ringing of the bells, they knew the priest was still alive and moving. You know? Also, when the priest once a year went into the holiest place, they tied a rope around him. Because if he did something to offend God, God would kill him, and the body would start stinking. You realize this, right? So they could pull him out of there, because if somebody else went in to go there, God killed them too. Or maybe they just give a class. They said, okay, now, you're the next guy up. Now, God's going to kill you as soon as you cross this threshold. So when you fall, fall like this. Because then maybe you'll grab it, and when rigor mortis sets in, you'll be like the little claw in the candy machine game, and we'll grab the priest and we can pull you both out. I'm glad you got a kick out of that, because that's where my brain went. Woo! Okay. No, I mean, they had reasons for things. And I know it's a silly illustration, but listen, churches have reasons for things. So don't think that this, it's just made up for nothing, you know. There's reasons we have these policies. There's reasons. God set this forth. He set it, He took the time to set it up for His people, and He took the time to set it up for His church. In Romans chapter 12, we quote verses 1 and 2 all the time, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And then he goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then Paul goes on to say, he says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So God gives expectations of ministering, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So before you think that these different policies and different ideas and different requirements are silly, just think about what Paul had to say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14. In verse 40, he says, let all things be done decently and in order. Why did he have to tell them that? Because they weren't being done decently and they weren't in order. And so our churches need to be in a decent and orderly state. That's why these things are very important. Now, that's levels 1 through 3. As we get into level 4, this is kind of the higher level or the top level. And let me just explain to you who this is. These are people who are teaching children or adults. These are our teachers, Sunday school teachers, or leaders or teachers in different capacities. They're leaders of people. These are also people that are elected to a church office, like a deacon or a trustee or an advisory board member or a church clerk or a treasurer. You say, well, why are these people different? Because it's a higher level of leadership, a lot higher level of commitment, a higher level of responsibility. And so please understand that as we get into this, and we're not going to have time to get into all of this tonight, but I want you to understand that to whom much is given, much is required. These things are important. That doesn't mean that being a nursery worker or being an altar worker or being an usher is not important. That's not at all what we're saying. But we're saying that, by the way, let me just take an aside. How many of you expect more of me than of the common church member? Anybody? You should, because I'm the pastor, right? In your business, how many of you expect more of the CEO than you do of the guy taking out the trash? I mean, Yeah, I mean, it's just that simple, okay? There's an order to things. So as we get into, we're going to get into this next week, the level four, but I want to just briefly go over a few of the things to give you an idea of what policies and guidelines have to do with anything. In Psalm 84:10, David writes, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." You know what? We ought to feel that way about God's house. We ought to have that kind of a mindset that being a church member, serving in a local ministry is important. Think about this. The usher ministry is one of the most important ministries of the church. You say, an usher is one of the most important? Yeah. Brother Parks, you're important. Brother Frankie, you guys that usher, you are important. The purpose of an usher is to serve the congregation. You know what? They're to make things work. They're to give order and direction to stuff. They're to kind of maintain things. Being an usher is a very important thing. You say, well, then why is being an usher down there at level two? Level two doesn't seem very important. Maybe if an usher is so important, maybe it should be level four or five or ten, you know? Just because it's important doesn't mean it has to be, if you will, a high level, right? And by the way, I think level one's important. It is. So don't try to use human reasoning to figure this out. It's important, all right? To serve the congregation. No other ministry in our church has the opportunity to serve as many people of every age than the usher. I mean, think about it. A Sunday school teacher is responsible for, you know, 5-10 people. Guess who an usher is responsible for? Everybody. Yeah, isn't that cool? I mean, so it's certainly the case. If you will, Sunday school teachers minister to their particular age groups. Nursery workers serve the babies and the parents of those babies. But the ushers have the important opportunity to serve everyone that comes through the doors of our church. You know that, ushers? How many of you ush? Where's our ushers? All right, good. Hey, you're important. You have the privilege and opportunity and, if you will, responsibility to serve everybody in this room, including the pastor. What a privilege. Ushers are much, if you will, like the Levites of the Old Testament who served in the temple, helping the priests, helping the people, making everything work well. Therefore, a good usher must have a servant's heart. A good usher, his job is to serve, not to be served. And by serving, an usher is being Christ-like. In Matthew 20, verse 28, the Bible says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." You know what? I know these ushers that we have, with exception of our junior ushers, our teenagers in training. Well, some of them may do that. I don't know. But I can tell you something about the ushers that we do have. Any one of them would be willing to give their lives for you at any time. They would. You know why? Because they're servants. When I was at Trinity, one of my jobs as assistant pastor, I was the head of the safety team. You know what? Do you know that even as your pastor, I still feel this way? I would give my life for anyone to protect any one of you. I would. And I'd be okay with that. My wife might not be as okay with it as I am, but I'm okay with that. And I really mean that. And that's what, you know, our ushers, we got some great guys, and I don't even have to ask them. I know. I know they would. Why? Because they have a servant's heart. And you know what? The usher is the pastor's helper in all services. An usher serves by greeting visitors, greeting people, taking them to the proper places, quieting down disturbances, collecting the offerings, passing out visitor cards, providing safety and security during the service. Hey, our ushers are very important people. They're some of my favorite people. Why? Because I am one. I know I'm the pastor now, but at heart, I'm an usher. All right. How many of you know that your pastor doesn't sit still or sit down? Yeah, he just keeps going. The Energizer Bunny. Boom, boom. Okay. No, but this is important. And so it's important to have policies and guidelines for an usher. Here it says here in the usher guidelines, it says to make a vital first impression for visitors. Consider how a first-time visitor feels when coming to a new church. They don't know anybody. And if they do know somebody there, they don't know where they are. Right? I mean, they walk in the door and somebody invited them. They don't know where that person is. I can't tell you how many times, both at Trinity and here, that I've literally gone to hunt somebody down, if you will, because their visitor showed up and I wanted to put them in contact with a person that brought them to church. Folks, you know how important that is? How many of you have ever had the privilege of getting somebody to church? They were your visitor. Hey, isn't that special? Yeah. And how would you like it if a person came that you invited and you never knew they were there? Because, you know, you were like ships passing in the night. You just kind of missed each other. But thank God for an usher that said, oh, who invited you? Oh, brother so-and-so or Mrs. so-and-so. Oh, tell you what, I know where they are. I'll go get them for you. Man, that not only is that great for the visitor, it's great for the person that brought them, invited them to church. And guess who gets to make that connection? The usher does. And that's a blessing to the usher. Those things are so important, so very valuable for ushers. So think about that. Many people are nervous or afraid about being embarrassed in church. You know, so they do? They come in and they just sit down. You know, they got kids. They've never been to a church before. And they don't know where to go. So they just come and sit. They just kind of sit obscurely in the back. And if nobody goes to them and nobody tries to help them, they'll just sit there and they'll just sit there for a while. And then pretty soon they'll just get up and leave. And you'll never see them again. What a shame. They took the time to come. But if a good usher would say, oh, so glad to have you here. Hey, I see you got some little ones here. We've got a nursery. We've got Sunday school. Hey, you know what? Ushers know everything. Yeah, they know who all the teachers are. They know where all the classes are. They know who to get in contact. Ushers are, I love ushers. Could you guys tell from my tone I love ushers? I do. And I think they're so very vital and very important. Where's the nursery? Where can we sit? These questions are all in the minds of visitors, but they don't want to ask anybody. So guess who gets to ask all the questions? The usher does. So that he can find out. When an usher greets a visitor warmly and escorts them inside, gets them settled, gets them to where they need to go, shows them where everything is, they've made their first vital impression. What is life about? First impressions. You know what's really sad? When you go out knocking on doors and you hand out a gospel tract and you hear somebody say, oh, I've been to that church. And then I ask them, well, how was it? It wasn't good. Why not? Nobody shook my hand. Wasn't friendly. You know, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Is that the testimony we want in our community? I don't think so. Right? So this is so, first impressions are very important. And guess who gets to be at the head of that? Ushers. Ushers do. I tease them all the time. But teenagers, can I just take a time out for... Okay, just a second, because I got to quit. I do appreciate all of you. I do. Okay? I really do. But how many of you have been through the Sunday school gauntlet? Have you been through the Sunday school? Come on. Miss Frances is laughing. She's been through it. For some reason, these wonderful teenage people, and I'm not criticizing you. I'm not. Okay? Because I think it's wonderful because you're very good. Okay? But there's about 30 of them that gather in that little vestibule, and I don't know how they could even, you know, maybe they got like three in a square. I'm not sure. But when you open the front door, you kind of wiggle through the front foyer to get in here because there's so many teenagers clogging the way. You know, But they're very friendly. They hand out bulletins. They're chit-chatty. It's very happy. So you're very happy. I like the happiness, okay? Maybe not so much. I don't like the congestion, but I like the happiness, okay? When you walk into a place, there should be a buzz. And by the way, I want to applaud all of you. I think our church is a wonderful church. I think you're a very friendly church, and it's a happy church. And I can't even get you to go home, so I can lock the building up and shut the lights off, you know. By the way, I'd like it that way, okay? I think that's great. But you see, ushers have a part in that. And some of our junior ushers are those ones clogging the doors, and I understand that, but we'll work on that. But this first impression thing is very important. If a visitor is uncomfortable and disoriented at the beginning of service, it's very unlikely that they're going to do anything. They're probably not going to warm up to the preaching. They're probably not going to listen. They're probably not, because they're going to be bothered the whole time. It's just not going to sit well with them. Their time here is going to be a loss. Do we really want that to happen? I mean, how would you feel if your only opportunity to reach somebody was a dud? You know, we can't afford that. Someone's eternal soul is at risk here, is at stake. And so we've got to make good on that first impression. They're more likely they'll be thinking more about leaving or how to get out of here than what is said in the message. So therefore, the usher can consider himself, if you will, the introduction of the preacher's sermon. For without the usher's help, the sermon will likely fall on deaf ears. So these are just things that we're talking about. Now I've got to quit, but we're gonna. I have lots more pages. Want to see my pages? We're gonna be here a while, okay? Now, why do I really care about all this? Because I want God's church to be the best it can be. All of us as individuals, but all of us collectively. And we need to know, we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And you know what? It's good for everyone, even non-ushers, to know what ushers are supposed to be. You know what? It's good for everyone to know what nursery workers, even non-nursery workers, it's good for them to know what they're supposed to be. It's good for everybody to know what Sunday school helpers and Sunday school teachers and altar workers and choir members are supposed to be, because we're all part of the same body. We're all supposed to function together, because this needs to be a place where people can come in and they can find Jesus Christ. And they can join the body and they can be happy in the body and they can serve in the body. And isn't that what we want? That's what God wants. And that's the kind of church I want Lighthouse. By the way, I just want to say this. I want Lighthouse Baptist Church to continue to be. Because we are that. But I don't want it to stop. If you stop teaching something, you stop being something. We've got to keep on. We've got to keep persevering. And by the way, we ought to always bring these things in remembrance. This is really the first time that I, as the pastor, have gone into this detail. Now, I know Brother Asbury has taught these things before, but I want our church to study what being a member and a servant in the local church is really all about.